All right, it's time for us to switch conversations for the time being. Remember, open season, we will do a recap of all the conversations that we have had for today. Remember, this is Hard Facts on 92.3 Nigeria Info. I am Kalada Korubatubo. 8 minutes gone past the hour of five, and it's time for us to talk about the insecurity in Outer East LG. And I'm talking about the wanted man, General Tubaba, whose gang yet again went to display insecurity, or should I say perpetrate insecurity, in Outer East, in Odiemeri community in Outer East LG. I've got on the phone, I hope it's clear this time, I've got Charles Inkotaria, who is a security expert, and together we will be talking. Welcome on the show, Mr. Inkotaria.
Thank you very much, Canada.
All right, so quickly... All right, so quickly, let's do a recap of what the news was saying this morning. The news that made the rounds did say that a relative to some five people killed by Tubaba and his gang in Odiemeriyi community tells our correspondent here at 92.3 Nigeria Info how the gang attacked the community at about 1 a.m. on Sunday. He said his two brothers and one other man were killed at his compound. He said the gang members also said that the only condition to stop the killing is for the police to release their members and some chiefs held in custody. He named the victims as Charles Osu, Obogbula, Ejayi, EJ, Idawukwa, and two others. Let's take a listen to what he had to say.
When we saw footsteps, dog was barking until we woke up. Before we know it, one of my younger brothers came out and said, "Police, who are those people?" They said, "They come to kill everybody. That if they don't release the people in the police custody, including the chief that is with them and those of their sympathizers, that they are not going to stop killing everybody." Before, my younger brother was like trying to plead with them, they shot him and shot other of my brothers. And they went also to other compounds, they shot one person. Five persons were killed.
Another person in the community also spoke on the condition of anonymity and accused the security agencies of not making any efforts to arrest Tubaba and his gang members. Let's take a listen. Where is that soundbite now? I saw it not too long ago.
We are tired of
that. Months back, a DPO of Ahoda was murdered and a ransom was placed by the River State governor. Till date, the police have not done anything to arrest Tubaba. Around 1 a.m. on Sunday morning, Tubaba came to Odiemeriyi community, murdered five persons at a gunpoint. This is uncalled for now. It is too much for Ekpe land. The police have failed us. The government have failed us. Ekpe people are crying. Ekpe land is bleeding. We don't know what else to do again. Where do we run to?
Now they're asking, where do we run to? I remember last week Tuesday when you and I talked about it, some of our callers mentioned that Tubaba and his gang members are still walking around freely in the community. The reporters seen on some of the pages of newspapers printed today mentioned the names of the people that weren't released by the police, some of them chiefs, some of them gang members. They want them released or else they will continue to perpetrate crime in the community in that local government. However, the police has reacted and they have said that two of the suspected cultists or gang members who were involved in the killing of the five persons in that community were killed over the weekend. Now, the statement said operatives of Outer Police Station received a distress call on Sunday morning that some suspected cultists loyal to wanted David Gift, also known as Tubaba, invaded Odiemeriyi community in search of suspected police informants. So there are so many talking points to this matter. One, police being reactionary. Two, police informants being targeted. Will that not stall the case? And will this, yet again, like we asked the last time, not fuel or inspire more people, you know, to go into crime and criminality, especially in that local government? Should we talk about the military coming in? Should it be vigilantism? Should it be amnesty? Some of these issues we will treat right now. So once again, I welcome my guest, Charles Nkutaria. He is a security expert. Once again, welcome.
Thank you very much.
So you've listened to the reports I read out on the show. Let's start. What are you thinking? Let's start with what you're thinking. You know, what have you made out of what has developed since yesterday morning up until now?
Well, there is nothing much new to what has been happening prior to this time. But the worrying part of it is that it is pushing communities to a tight corner where communities will begin to resort to self-help on how to protect their environment. Like one of the last speakers said, where do we go to and what do we do? Now that they have confirmed that, or from body language, they've been able to confirm that the police have not been able to do anything, little or nothing, to help them out of the situation. In fact, police DPO was brutally killed, you know, in the community. And to date, the killers have not been arrested. Rather, the killers come out to still hit their soft targets and go away unabated. You know, and these are body languages they are putting forward in order to put fear in the communities. There is fear of hostility, fear of uncertainty. Some rural dwellers will be fleeing the areas and so on. But one thing I want to know, I want you to know, is that they are also highly inconvenienced where they are.
Okay.
And so they are making these moves in order to put threat and fear in the residents to enable them come out and interface where necessary and perhaps restock their consumables or one thing or the other. But definitely they are putting fear in the minds of the people.
All right.
They are also worried whether they are by coming to this action as well as seeing it, you know, to the government and to the security agents. Another area, another angle to it is that it is also possible that other gangs could be doing this in order to make the matter or the matter on ground tense for Tubaba. Because like the statement says that gangs loyal to Tubaba, they didn't say Tubaba with his gang.
No.
So that's another complaint.
That was basically because he was not in the midst of, you know, by the eyewitness report.
Yes.
He was not in the midst.
Yeah, from the eyewitness, Tubaba himself was not there.
Yeah.
But the gang suspected to be loyal to Tubaba carried out this action and come up with these demands. So we just have to be very careful in looking at it properly, because remember there are other gangs within that territory.
Okay.
You know, operating also. So it is possible rival gang can come and carry out these actions and carry out these statements in order to put Tubaba on a tight corner. Also, I am not saying that must have been what has fair, but I am just putting this
a conspiracy theory there.
Yeah, but whatever the option or whatever the reasons are and so on, police have failed. And to an extent, government needs to do something. Now, government supporting police. Not that police fail because they are incapable. Police fail because they don't have domestic intelligence. There is no synergy, like I always push forward. If there is synergy and there is proper domestic intelligence, over 60 days or 90 days of killing of membership. And to date, in a landmass of 1,500 square kilometers, with all the relevant gadgets and the surveillance equipment that was donated by the government in the past to police, they have not been able to identify where Tubaba is.
Can I come in now? Now, you've mentioned, you know, the landmass and the landscape. You've also mentioned fear, you know, the gang trying to put fear in the people. One, do you think the fear factor will not work, because you've said intelligence and police is banking on community intelligence to be able to go about apprehending Tubaba and his gang. Secondly, landscape, landmass. I spoke to someone last week and she said, she's a former police officer, and she says said that there is the riverine part that could be an hindrance to the police actualizing their dream or goal of arresting the suspect. What's your take on these two issues?
Like I was telling you that the landmass is 11,500 square kilometers.
Okay.
Our statistics shows that 60%, about 55% of it is water.
Oh, okay.
While another 45% is land, where we use now. Now, the hindrance is on the waterways, and the criminals are rising on that direction, But like I said, use of deployment of technology can cover the entire landmass, in terms of patrol, in terms of search, in terms of several things that it can do with technology without even getting to that place. It's quite easy. It would have been able to identify where it is. GPS enabled drones can find where these two Babani gangs are. It's as ABC. It's something that they can detect in less than 7 days. 7 days is even too much. You know, with what the facilities that are on ground, technology that is on ground, if they can deploy the use of technology. Because Nigerian security system has been approached using more of military options, fighting criminality. Fighting criminality is causing a lot of casualties and increasing the rate of victims to violence.
Okay.
We are talking the world, globally, everybody is looking towards preventing insecurity and not fighting criminality. Preventing criminality, locking up the chances and opportunity for crime is what the government and the security should channel all strength to. Because if you follow... Hello?
I'm listening to you.
If you follow military option...
Yeah?
If you follow military option, firefighting, crime, criminality, you will be both on the side of the police, on the side of the criminals, and civilians. Creating tension within the area, making the environment smell of hostility.
Can I ask you a question? I understand your use of technology and all, but I wonder if Nigeria is there yet. And I'm wondering where we are as it pertains to security and technology. Should we invite the military into this? Should we have jet fighters flying across or around the forest like we see in fire-prone areas?
To quench that Tubaba issue, I would that local government should be declared state of emergency.
Okay.
Declared state of emergency in that area, because the government in that local area is not efficient. There is no proper community mobilization to that effect. People are now gradually resorting to self-help. There are many sort of things going to get us back. Next thing we hear, they will still go and get military vigilantes. And so on. Creating those vigilantes and so on is indirectly creating more armed groups within the territory.
Okay.
That will create firearms and create tension within the area. Smell of hostility here and there.
Mm.
To avoid that, governments are forced to be primary action now. I think they should take that to the situation where gang can come in, kill five people, and they're still threatening to kill more. And obviously, we make do the threat. This is not the fourth time the threatening community in that area.
All right.
They have threatened communities to pay ransom and that they will come at a particular date if they don't pay. Mm. And they come exactly as they promised and kill as much as they have promised to kill. Now again, they come again, kill at night again in another community and threaten to come and kill more again. They will do more. So the earlier the government take a proper action, I will, I mean, I,
personal listing, though I don't subscribe to military options or whatever, but it should be kind of emergency. Then let the military move in,
right,
and the Air Force move in to all be right able to come that committee, the bush, the forest, and so on, and smoke this guy's house
all right
before they create too much tension within the area.
All right,
you know,
all right,
for a more lasting, you know, solution, the government needs to come in. This is not about giving kilos to police.
Let me pause you now.
Surveillance equipment.
Let me pause you, please. There is a commercial break. Apologies. When we come back from the break, I will get your thoughts and your opinions on other issues concerning this security matter. All right. Thank you very much. All right. I've got Charles Nkutaria on the phone, and we have been talking. We took a break to go for commercials, and right now we are back. And if you're just joining us, you're listening to Hard Facts on 92.3 Nigeria Info. I am Kala Dakuru Bati. But we are looking at the report that emanated from Awuda East Local Government Area yesterday, talking about five people who were killed by, you know, gangs suspected to be loyal to Tubaba, or as he's called, General Tubaba. And we're looking at it, and we were looking for solutions. And before we went on that break, we're talking about militarization. Could that be the solution, having fighter jets flying across the, you know, areas that are riverine in nature and where the police cannot easily access? Could that solve the problem? He was also, my guest that is, talking about vigilantism, and he was saying that may not solve the problem. Vigilantes may not be the solution, because that might be a problem in the future. However, I've still got the question of amnesty, because if you remember, part of the demands from the boys who went on a rampage on Sunday morning, they asked for the release from police custody of certain individuals. Welcome back, Mr. Charles Nkutaria. Welcome on the show.
Thank you very much.
All right. So you were talking about militarization and how vigilantes may not be the solution. However, I'm looking at amnesty. We've used that as a tool before. Is that something you would advise, you know, non-kinetic negotiations, so to say? Is that something that could work?
No, there's nothing like non-kinetic. So that aspect of amnesty is one of the major cracks we had in the fight against criminality in the Nigerians and Nigeria as a whole.
Okay.
Because you see, criminals are now being considered and patronized highly.
Mm.
You know, because the moment they do amnesty, the next stage you hear is that Tubaba has been giving all the oil pipelines in the area as the surveillance contractor to IOC and NNPC downstream, because they contract these boys. And these are part of the things we do to show their equity and their strength, you know, to back in this business, because they're highly patronized. After this period, you hear him, either he's been given the contract to run the pipeline surveillance in that area, or he's coming up to contest as a member of House of Assembly or one seat or the other, and they will vote for him, because they patronize criminals everywhere now. So the idea of amnesty, for me, it should be completely ruled out. Completely ruled out. And the criminal effects for the government or the police or the security, what should be done? People they should release and so on. And in time past, they have been doing that out of fear. You know, because what they are doing is to instill fear as one of their strategy in the minds of the people, the government, and then the security at large, and then the entire society. But I tell you, these people are not spirits. They are taking advantage of the gap between the people, the community, and the security agents. Of course, they operated for some hours before even the police got the information and intercepted for that damage or whatever, you know. But if the police had earlier information, if the police had a preemptive information, identify early warning signs and signals, it will be easier to meet people on the board. you know, and to avoid, to reduce these casualties. The death rate we're saying is too much.
Mm.
On daily basis, you hear it, so person killed this criminal killed that. The killing is too much. The space is just too open for these people to operate. And the security is not doing much, in as much as I don't blame them much, because they cannot do beyond what they are supposed to do. They don't have any domestic intelligence, and they don't have the strategy to have domestic intelligence. It depends on the government of the state to take up a non-connecting platform for the state, state-owned platform, that will be able to solve this insecurity within the territory.
Mm.
And come up with own growth measures that will close the gap between the people and the security to have a synergy on information sharing.
Sorry, Charles. Talking about information sharing now, we've just been told that the people who were targeted were people believed to be police informants. Do you think people will still want to share information or intelligence with the police? That's one.
Yes, no normal man wants to share information with the state of relationship between the police and the security. But if the state come up with a non-connected platform, the platform will be able to manage individual information and accelerate information concealing the identity of the person. You understand? We have networks. We have platforms. We have...
Hello, are you there? Oh, the network has been terrible all day.
Community facilities into that environment
mm.
and still get the reaction or the action that is needed without you knowing who upload the information. We have a lot of facilities like that that will be able to protect the citizens in sharing information. But with this local method of informants, it is done by the British government because they don't know people within the community, so they identify key persons to give them information. But in this case now, we've gone past that level. It's like look, an obsolete for you to go on this local informant system. You endanger the life of the informant, and which is what is playing out right now.
Mm-hmm.
But with this state holistic platform now, there are facilities and platforms that will manage such information without the identity of the informant. And then they have facilities, back-end users and operators of those information gadgets and technology will be able to manage the escalation of any incidented matters to the relevant security operations with the closer to that scene. And also monitor response time, monitor lapses, and escalate it where necessary for subsequent purposes. So these are things, it is not skyrocket, it is not spirit, it's something that is doable. And the good part of it is that River State government in 2018 have a law to promote such local participation. It's all the place of the government to go back to that law and review and fine-tune that law, escalate the sponge areas that are inimical to the society, areas that are raising eyebrows should be removed in the law, and make it pure non-kinetic operation. And you will see these people, the way they will catch them like flies.
Mr. Nkutaria,
the police. Yes,
I'm out of time, but I want to throw one final question at you, and that question has got to do with proactiveness. You mentioned it. You said the police were reactionary, and I agree. Given the tools, because you also mentioned that the police don't have enough tools to work with, given the tools at the disposal of the police, in River State most especially, how proactive do you think the police can be? Or, you know, how should they, you know, begin to be proactive, so to say? Especially in this to the last case.
Yeah, to be proactive, you know, the platform I'm looking at is not police. Police should continue with their arms, their bearing of arms, fighting crime and criminality, but the proactive intelligent platform should be owned and managed by the state government in synergy with the police.
Okay.
Because if the state government come up with, like, for instance, we have the surveillance equipment that has donated to them sometime last year, year before last.
Mm.
If that facility is managed and manned by citizens and providing the backup to police. Because if you go now, you find that most of the facilities are not in use. How many police officers are ICT compliant? How many of the police officers you see that are ICT compliant? Have you checked their training curriculum in their training school, if there's anything ICT inside it? That's nothing. So depending on that, demand technology, modern technology, cannot be any productive. But the states can use it to run their own non-kinetic state platform and create the backup for police to operate neatly. Otherwise, that kind of homegrown local platform would have been able to identify where to go by his. As of now. It's insulting and embarrassing to a state as big as River State, over 6.5 million persons, 2, 3, 4, 5 miscreants will hold the entire community to ransom, come and kill and kill and go. It's not acceptable. So the earlier the government stand up to this reality, you know, stop looking, engage security scholars to make presentation on the best way out. The Nigerian police are only trained for to fight crime. They don't have the technology for preventing crime. So the government need to come at this point, not by donating e-logs to police. When you donate these e-logs to police, in the next week, it's true. Some of the e-logs will be in the north, some of them will be in Lagos, serving other senior officers and so on, and their wives. And it's not being put to use here.
All right.
So we need our state structure that will be able to man the activities, the contribution of the state, see the deployment, and see the efficiency of this contribution the state government is doing, or measure it according to their actions.
I'm sorry, Ms. Ngutara, time is spent, fast spent. I would have to let you go at this point, but thank you very much for being my guest and for, you know, bearing your thoughts on the show. All right. Do have yourself a wonderful evening.